Aleph Elul, actually. Tuesday night, Aleph Elul. Chavis Halavus, Mahalacha, Chavis Halavus. When you make hamotzi for other people by a meal, which used to take place more often, but now it just takes place on Shabbos, so you're not supposed to throw the challah, the lechem, the bread, you're not supposed to throw it. Bread is not supposed to be thrown, even if it won't, you're not allowed to throw any food if it'll become inedible, certainly not inedible, but if it'll become something that people won't eat, because whatever, wherever it lands, you're not allowed to do that, but you can throw it in a way that nothing happens to it. But bread, because of its chashivas, you're not allowed to throw, you're not supposed to throw, you're not allowed to throw it in any event, and you're not supposed to hand it from hand to hand. That's the derech of Avelim, apparently. Maybe we don't know from that, but that's what it says in Halacha. And in fact, if there's an oval at the table, so you do hand him the lechem, the challah. On Shabbos, you don't, rather, because the Mishnah Berurah says that's Avelus b'Farhesya, if you hand it to him. But during the week, if it comes out such a circumstance, you actually do give the ovel the prusas hamotzi from hand to hand. But for someone else, you can't throw it, and you can't hand it. Now, there are people, I'm aware, that throw the lechem on Shabbos. I don't know, it's after on Shabbos. They do throw it, with the cheshbon being, there's some cheshbon that the table is a mizbeach, and actually the bosar was thrown on the mizbeach. There was a gap between the kevesh and the mizbeach, and actually a murim and the bosar, whatever you're putting on the mizbeach, I'm not talking about the dam, I'm talking about the bosar, and a murim were actually, yes, thrown, dafka, or it turned out to be thrown. And so I know there are some people I'm aware of that do throw the hamotzi based on that. Okay, to each his own minhag, I guess. In halacha, that's not, I never saw it brought down anywhere, but I'm aware that many people do it with that cheshbon. Okay, the Chavis Halavus were in Shara Bitachon, we're in Perek Shishi. He's talking about a mindset of people that push off their obligations. Everybody has obligations of Avodas Hashem. We're talking now to people that work for a living, and they have their hours, and if we kovei itim l'Torah, well, obviously we can't talk about how much each person has to be kovei itim l'Torah, but we're talking about, and then you have to daven with a minyan, and you have to do chesed, and we have obligations of avodas Hashem in our lives. Our lives are supposed to center around that. But so there are people who have the mindset, everybody's earning money, everybody is looking to make ends meet. People want to live comfortably also. They want to be able to afford things. So there's a mindset. I mean, Chavis Halavus was written very, very long time ago, right, over 1,000 years ago, about 1,000 years ago. So the mindset he's talking about is people that push off their obligations of Avodas Hashem until they feel secure in their earnings. Let's say nowadays you would say until they feel secure, they have enough money in the bank to retire, and then they'll get to work on their Avodas Hashem that's really obligatory right now. He calls it Kat HaMamashkinim. They want a mashkon from Hashem. They want to have a security deposit from Hashem before they devote themselves to his Avodah. They look at their Avodah as if Hashem owes them something, and their Avodah, they're going to work for Hashem and he owes them something, so now they want a security deposit before they go to work for him. So that's the mindset. Maybe they're not consciously aware that that's the mindset, but that's l'maisa the mindset. So he gives 7 reasons why it's illogical vis-a-vis Hashem, certainly to think that way. First taina is, we learned this already. First taina is that you don't take a mashkin. If you go into a bank and you want a loan, if you want something from someone, right, and then you say, he says, okay, I'll grant you the loan. You say, give me a mashkin, you're going to grant me the loan. You say, wait, he's doing me a favor. I'm not doing him a favor. So we already owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu something. He does for us. So what are we taking a mashkin for? That he's going to, everything is a gift. So you don't take a mashkin for a gift. It's like, he says, it's like going in, it's like asking someone to hire you, and then you want a mashkin for your pay. He looks at you like you're meshuga. You know, he's hiring you, and you're going to work, and then he's going to pay you. You don't ask for a mashkin for your work, for your pay, before you start working. So here also, you have to work for Hashem. You don't ask him for a mashkin. Okay, that's number one. Number two is that, what are you going to ask for? $1 million, $1 million shekel, $2 million shekel. You have to... So he tells a story here. This sefer, that Chavis Alvavus Pekitzor, Noyach HaKavocha tells a story that from Rav Elia Lapian. So even though he's not here, Rabbi, not here, but I'll tell the story anyway. He'll tell him I tell older a story from Rav Elia Lapian if you see him. So it's a cute story. So he goes to Rav Elia Lapian, the Bochan Yeshiva, and he wants to learn how to. He wants to learn Ksivas Stam, so he started filling the mezuzahs. By the way, everybody should look at the sign outside. Elul is a good time to check your mezuzahs and fill in. You're supposed to. And look outside. There's a sign up. The shul made an arrangement, and we're waiting for the sheet to be filled. Okay, you look outside. The sign is there. Leo Gurman is arranging the whole thing. Thank you. And everybody should take advantage of it. When's the last time you had your mezuzahs and fill in checked? Anyway, so this person wants to write Sivas Stam, so he could have Parnosa if he gets married. He's in yeshiva now. So the Mashkiach asked him, how do you know you're going to get married? He says, Hashem, I'm going to get married. What do you mean? Okay, maybe a koil is enough for you. Okay, he says, but I'm going to have children and I'm going to have a bigger mishpacha. A koil is not going to be enough for me. So the Mashkiach says, who says you're going to have children? Because Hashem, I'll have children. Says okay. Then he asks him. You know, a lot of people they write mezuzahs and tefillin. They don't have a nice handwriting, and they're not matzliach to sell what they write. He says, "Well, yeah, Miss Hashem, I'll learn how to write nicely." And she says, "Wait a second. You have emuna and Hashem that you're going to get married. You have emuna and Hashem that you're going to have children, and you have emuna and Hashem that you're going to have a nice handwriting. You're going to be able to sell your stuff. So why didn't you just?" Take it one more step, then Hashem will give you a parnosa. Why do you have to go rush out now when it's not the right time? Because you're afraid of the future, fear of the future. Okay, that's the second taina. The third taina is if you owe someone money and then he wants something from you, you don't ask him for a mashkin. Because you don't ask a mashkin. In other words, if you go into a makolet and the guy wants to buy milk on credit, and meanwhile, the storekeeper owes the person a lot of money. So he's not going to turn around and ask the guy for a mashkin. He owes him a lot of money. It would be chutzpah to go ask the seller, the koneh, for a mashkon that he's going to pay for the milk. The storekeeper owes the koneh a lot of money. So here also says the Chavis Halvavus, we owe Hashem already plenty of chovos. So what are we asking for a mashkin for? The chutzpah, we still have to pay up our chovos to him. We're still doing that. That's number three. Number four is the reason for taking a mashkin is because you're not sure he'll be able to pay you, or he won't want to pay you, or he won't have money to pay you, which doesn't apply to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fifth is that to have menuchas nefesh, you know, you're safe, so you're calm. But here, there's no way to be calm. You know, even if you have $1 million, you can lose $1 million also. In Marbon Chosum Nabadaiga, and you'll never be calm. So that's another point. What you want to do is have calmness, and you're not going to get calmness. Okay? And we'll stop here. There's two more reasons, 6 and 7. We'll stop here.
Okay,
not for me. Can't load page. What is going on? This is not for me.
the rubbers are used to a touch device. It takes a while to understand that you really have to, like, touch it.
So where do I go now? Where do I go now? Where do I go?
Try again. Let's see if it's still... Right, press that one. Still recording, turn it off.